And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just something I've noticed. Bargain hunting is back. I mean, bargain hunting's always been around. We always love a great deal. But man, everywhere you look, people are bargain hunting. You know, there's so many great ways to find great deals. Hey, I have a great find in your bargain hunting journey. Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby, and truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price that's a real bargain when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That is a bargain. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome. Here we are, the big eclipse three-day weekend. Not everybody has off, though, including us.
Yeah, we're not taking the day off for a few minutes of darkness. We work in the darkness.
Yes.
We fight against the darkness. We bring light to the darkness. Democracy dies in... We can't use that one, can we?
No. It's liberalism thrives in the darkness.
There you go. Yeah.
All right.
Truth.
the truth dies
on the pages of the Washington Post.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Some stories out there. Billionaire investor and New York Mets owner Steve Cohen said that AI, artificial intelligence, could pave the way for a four-day work week for most workers. He was on Squawk Box yesterday, said he believes the majority of workers will eventually have a four-day work week and a three-day weekend.
Wait. A four-day work week and a three-day week. What?
Yes. 4 and 3 equals 6.
Wait. I'm trying to comprehend having both. Huh? How does that even work?
My belief is that the four-day work week is coming.
All right.
Between the advent of AI, generally we hear from people that people are not as productive on Fridays. So I just think it's an eventuality. When it happens, it's hard to know. Now, that's a great disclaimer there, because I first think I heard of the four-day work week coming back in the late 60s.
Right. Yeah. First of all, this idea, people aren't as productive on Friday. Well, when the last day of the work week becomes Thursday, what do you think is going to happen? Because now it's not going to be just a two-day weekend they're looking forward to. It's going to be, and I just heard this on the radio, a three-day weekend they're looking forward to. Thursday is going to be in the toilet in terms of productivity.
What we have witnessed, you know, we go back to the last time we heard about this. Remember the smartest man in the room,
yeah.
Obama?
Yeah.
On ATMs?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the reason we had unemployment. Remember that one?
Right. Yeah, because you know, the thriving career field of bank tellers. I can't wait to grow up to be a bank teller.
Every single time we have had massive shifts in the United States economy.
Mm-hmm.
When we went from what did we go from at one point? Probably 95%+ of people that worked in the farms.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 90 or above, probably.
Right.
That'd be 90. What are we down at now? Was it?
It's back when child labor wasn't so frowned upon.
What is it? 1%, 2%, 3% of the people involved in farming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's and the shift to an industrialized economy, then a, you know, then a, they, well, they say service, whatever you wish to call, you know, service out there. But as we pointed out the other day, we're still involved in manufacturing. We're manufacturing different things than we manufactured before. One of the things that has been talked about is software should be considered manufacturing.
Right.
And it's not. It's a different form of manufacturing, but we're going by the old terms of what we used to manufacture, and things change. But when you look at, did we talk about the poll out there that Americans don't want legal immigration, the one that came out last week? We've already talked about how that's what all the polls have said over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
That right. The public really is in the mood for legal immigration. Well, no, not with the insanity that we see now. That's like, solve this problem, we'll deal with that down the road.
Well, but they're in the place that conservatives were when everybody was, you know, talking about amnesty years ago. Conservatives were like, whoa. Solve the border problem first, then we'll talk about amnesty. So now it's the American people are, solve the border crisis, then we can talk about legal immigration.
Every time you've had massive changes, what has changed is the training and education skills needed for the new jobs.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you see, and we've, you know, and this is, again, not on theory, it's what's actually happened. Right. In order to have, and I guess I would guess that the growth over the last, you know, since post-World War II has been probably 2 to 3%, somewhere in there for the last, since 19, probably 47.
Yeah.
46, 47, something like that is what it's been. Or 1950 on, you know, 2 to 3% growth. Good years, maybe 3%. Bad years, as we know, we've been in recessions. But probably an average growth rate. To do that, to have that growth rate, we needed labor. We needed massive amounts of labor. As we moved into both, you think about it, really, really the modern mass production philosophy, where we where a huge middle class grew at that time because of massive manufacturing of and mass production of products. Then very quickly into it, by the time you got into the 60s, you were into computers big time.
Yeah.
Computers started coming in. And then at that point, when computers started coming in, that's when the talk really started in the late 60s. Well, with computers and everything else, we'll be at a three-day work week by the time it gets to 1984.
Yeah.
Right. And then as we got into the mid-70s, it was like, oh, by 1999, everybody will be working a four-day, if not a three-day work week, because of the massive amount of productivity that we get with computers. Now, think about computers and the massive amount of productivity that we that you get. And you could use, for an example, if you're somebody who is in sales or you do our job, for example, that I do everything on my smartphone. Everything.
Yeah. Right.
I have to. The problem is when I open up my laptop or my desktop, they haven't been open for such a long time. It takes, the updates take a day.
Yeah,
I have to open it up the day before I use
it. Right.
And because I use my phone so much. Why do I use my phone so much? Why do people stare at me? Why do my friends say to me, why are you always on your phone? Do you know what I do for a living? And I'll say, you know, it's the same as reading newspapers.
Yeah.
You know, I've got books on my phone.
Right.
I read books off my phone. It's not, I'm not playing video games. And so you do everything on your phone. It makes you so incredibly productive. Does it not?
No, I mean, it's because it, I would say because the, in fact, the device is compact, I can get so much more done. I'm more efficient in typing and everything else and saving everything and and categorizing it and doing all of that. I mean, you've got to organize it. And my, I told you about number 8 came in the other day. And, you know, he's told, well, you know, your grandfather works during the day too, not just at night while you're asleep. And so he's working around here. You know, and but he sees me looking at my phone all the time. So finally he walks up to me. He just turned 5 the other day. He walks up to me and says, so is your job just to look at your phone? And after writing them out of my will, I said, well, yeah, actually it is. I have to, and I tried to explain to him, well, I said, you know, I have to read the news and then tell people what I think about the what's going on in the news. And he just got this so deflated look, like disinterested, like, oh. And then he just walks out of the room. Sorry. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. We don't give enough credit to signs, and we really should. That sign over there tells you, great French fries. That sign over there tells you, this is your exit. And look at that legendary sign. It's the Motel 6 sign. It tells you, a great night's rest at a great price. Book online at motel6.com. And use the code CPRedEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. Look for the signs. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a great price when you use the code CPRedEye. That's the letters CPRedEye. Red Eye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel6.com. That's a great deal. And that's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When I used to do my hockey ice skating training.
After your figure skating training? Immediately following your figure skating training?
This goes back such a long time ago. People have to be... You know, listening from when we were first together in 2005 to understand that. But I would go to the rink and always do skating workouts because it was great. There was this one woman who was there. Hmm. And she was she's probably about my age at the time because this goes back. This goes back 15 years ago.
Yeah.
And she would just get furious at me. Hmm. Why aren't you out there skating? You're always on your phone. You're always on your phone. I said, well, it's, you know, work related. So maybe it was a little later. Maybe it was when the first smartphone came out because I was looking at news stories. So could have been a little later. Could have been, 12 years ago.
Right.
When really the more of the modern smartphones came out. And she was like, but she would never. I told her, I said, no, this is like me reading the newspaper. I'm doing show prep. I explained to her. It didn't matter. She was still furious. It was because, you know, I know all the young people are on their phones, but you're not young. It's like, well, you didn't have to say it that way and hurt my feelings.
But jeez. Bring age into this.
You know, exactly. But she was never comfortable with me being on my phone. Never. And she didn't understand that. No, you don't understand. This is like if I had a laptop in front of me, would it be different? It said, you know, I'm not on the phone. I'm using the phone. And I just wonder now that I have the phone and I've had it for like 6-7 years with the stylus, does that make it any less offensive to people because I have the stylus?
No, it just makes you look old.
Does it? Okay.
Why don't you just go ahead and tell them, just tell them you have a BlackBerry or something. I mean, if you really want to. It's a flip phone. I would have said something smarmy like, no, I'm just looking up how to ignore people.
But when you look at the 4-day work week and people talking about it, because the projections that, you know, this is like going back to the 60s again with the computers. Oh, 40% of the people won't be able to find a job. And so we're going to just have to pay Everybody, half the population just going to have to be paid by the government for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Well, that hasn't happened. And every time you have had people say it's going to happen, it hasn't happened yet. I think what might happen, and that's why I brought in immigration. We are a nation right now, and I do believe we are moving. Everything's in ebb and flow, and I do believe that there are serious things that are going to be done on the border. I really do. I think the public is there right now.
Yeah.
And if they're not, then, you know, you're probably not going to solve the problem.
Right.
But you're not going to have legal immigration.
And you're not
going to have legal immigration for the high-tech jobs. Because that's where it's going. That's what I see. The problem is going to be the fact that we have a generation, a significant portion in a generation that actually believes that they can get a basket weaving degree and succeed in the new economy, and they can't. Mm-hmm. Because AI is going to create what? A lot more high-tech jobs.
Yep.
And it will, because of the massive of efficiency, it will create capital, which will go into other service-oriented or information-oriented businesses, which will use more AI and need more technical people.
Right.
With AI coming into so many laborer jobs, I can't believe how many restaurants. I can't believe the restaurant near me on the lake. It's a big place. No more servers.
Hmm.
Everything is going up there, and, you know, they'll have runners, you know, get the electronic thing. And I'm like, boy, it's going to be a nightmare because this thing can hold, I don't know, 700, 800 people. How you do that, I don't know, during the massive summer rush, but they're determined, no servers. Servers are gone.
All right.
And so you're streamlining that. I do believe that what you're going to see is a significant problem that's not going to be solved with the migrant situation or illegal immigration. Those jobs aren't going to be there. And you're not talking about groups coming across the border illegally or technically legally for a certain period of time that are going to be able to fulfill those jobs. So I think that the in a high-tech economy, when you don't have the labor there, I don't see how you get to a four-day work week.
You're not going to get to – I'm not convinced you're going to get to that four-day work week.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be – I don't know for how long, but for a certain period of time, you're going to be almost retraining. Even the tech industry is evolving. When there were all the tech layoffs, you know, especially at companies like Google, you know, people were looking at AI. Then you look at the Hollywood strike and everything else, and it was like, okay, did you guys not see that coming? A company like Google, if you think about gathering information, I mean, you're kind of already in the AI. You were building that AI out to always do this, kind of eliminate the need for so many workers. Now, there are going to be different jobs in that field, but it's not going to be the same jobs of building, you know, that kind of system or set of algorithms or whatever it's going to be, depending on the business. And so when you look at that, it's right now we're probably mismatched. As fast as AI is evolving on the information front, we're probably mismatched even within the tech field, people with experience and education in that field. I think you're going to look at some lag time. So there's going to be, and I don't know how long that would be. Maybe it corrects itself pretty quickly. I don't know.
Right. Because if the public doesn't want the high-tech jobs filled, and they don't right now, the poll came out last week, by legal immigration,
right,
it's not going to be filled by illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the labor force there, if you don't have it in the United States, just like if you don't have cheap energy in the United States, those companies go elsewhere.
Well, they have to outsource. There's no way they can't.
Right. They have to.
Yeah.
And so that's why I see a mismatch coming, and I see maybe greater unemployment.
Yeah.
You know, if AI does what they believe it will do.
Mm-hmm.
But the unemployment will be people that can't find a job
right.
in the higher tech industry.
Right.
But those working, I think, will probably be working just as long as they're working right now.
I think so.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
Total drought coverage continues to shrink across the country. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey with the latest.
Looking at the five-week period ending April 2nd, we have seen drought coverage across the continental United States falling to just over 18%. And that is down 3.5 percentage points over the last 5 weeks since February 27th.
Yet more significant.
That takes us to our lowest drought coverage in almost 4 years. You have to go back all the way to May 12th of 2020 to find a lower drought coverage in the lower 48 states.
Rippey notes a similar story regarding the two highest drought categories, D3 and D4, nationwide, but adds there are still pockets within the country of extreme and exceptional drought.
Most of that is focused in just three areas: Southern Rockies into parts of the Southern High Plains, the Upper Midwest, and then across the Northern Rockies.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. All right, let's clarify a little bit here, because already getting responses saying, well, no, people can work four-day work weeks, 10 hours a day.
Mm.
That's not what's being proposed.
No.
And this all comes from the reason I think that the billionaire was asked on CNBC is because Bernie Sanders has been on it again, that we need to have a four-day work week, 32
right.
hours, and pay the exact same amount.
Right.
This is about a four-day work week where you work fewer hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's the entire point.
Right.
And that's what we're saying. You're not going to come to that.
No,
that's not going to happen where you're going to have this massive transfer of people working fewer hours.
Right.
I'm not saying, because, you know, there are professions where you work 3 days a week, 12 hours a day.
My city hall, actually, the city workers work 10 hours a day, 4 day work weeks.
Right. We're talking about fewer hours.
Yep.
Listening to Red Eye Radio from the Uniden America Studios.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So you ask where service industry is going to go, with AI, and who knows? You know, we don't really know where it's going to go. All I know is I can look at history, and we can look at history and say every time there's been major technological advancements that have completely shifted an economy and what its focus is worldwide or in the United States, you end up creating more jobs. And with the tremendous technical advancements in that have helped just mind-boggling increases in productivity and efficiency over the last 60, 70 years, 80 years in this country, you still needed a massive influx of labor,
mm-hmm.
which we're not going to have again. And that massive influx came from the baby boom, which we're not going to have again. It's not going to happen. Baby booms will not happen like that anymore. And women in the workforce, where now they outnumber men in the workforce post-World War II. You need labor. We aren't populating our society as a whole. We don't want, as of right now, legal immigration for high-tech jobs. So those that are predicting that we're going to go to a four-day work week of fewer hours. And understand, we mean fewer hours, not people that work, 40 hours a week in 3 days or 40 hours a week in 4 days. This would be a maximum of 32 hours. And that's how this conversation started, because Bernie Sanders has been out there again promoting it. By the way, you see the meme, and it says these are the people that Bernie Sanders have lifted out of poverty, and there's four people that are all Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, it's, you know, this idea that there's not going to be enough work for all of us, you know, and that's what they're trying to get at. Well, the bots, the AI, automation, I mean, over the years we've heard it time and time again. And the fact of the matter is that we don't know what the demand is going to be. We don't know what innovation is going to pop like the advent of smartphones. That kind of innovation is a wealth expansion, just like anything that we do in mining. You know, when we, when any industry has a product that they can take and there's massive demand for it, constant demand for it, you know, that kind of expansion is something you need. And I don't know what that will be. I don't know where that next big event on expansion will be. But it will require humans. And it doesn't matter what AI is doing. There's going to be humans that are going to be needed to facilitate all of that. There was a story about the Amazon Fresh grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
They did these, it's a pilot project, basically, where you just walk in and just walk out with your stuff. I mean, you're swiping a card, and it charges you the moment you walk out the door. Well, it seemed like an automated process. No. They had thousands of humans that were virtual checkers, basically. And they weren't there in the stores, but they had to be basically monitoring the situation. It wasn't as automated as people thought it was going to be, or maybe as what you were being told. And it wasn't, the point wasn't the automation, it was convenience for the shopper. But it doesn't matter. You have it now where grocery stores are going, yeah, we want to pare down those self-checkout lanes. We're seeing too much in theft. And we want more humans involved because that needs to be monitored. And I don't know where that's going to go. I have no idea when it comes to loss prevention, what the future is. But the fact of the matter is that in order to expand an economy, and it will be expanding, there's going to be a demand for something. I don't know what it will be that will pop just like smartphones did. Technology or a greater, you know, expansion of whatever it is going to bring about the need for more humans. And I don't know what that looks like, quite honestly.
Well,
it's not just laborers you're looking at. It's not just manual labor that you're looking for. You've got to get the educated, experienced, technology-based worker, and you've got to get them in large numbers. And I have no idea where that's going to come from.
What you need, because of the how technology will change, you will need people that are very well educated in STEM that can quickly adapt and learn.
Yeah, and that's that gap.
Other new processes, and yeah, that's where the gap is.
Right.
And so we said there may be a gap of unemployment and retraining,
mm-hmm,
that will have to happen, but those, yeah, people that are currently working are not going to see a reduction in hours. In fact,
no,
the opposite may happen,
right,
because if we do not open up legal immigration for those jobs,
right,
there will not be enough people to fill those jobs in the United States.
Yeah.
That's the fear.
Right.
That's the fear, and that's based on the growth rate that we have seen since post-World War II,
right,
with all the technological advancements, especially computers, and we still needed an unprecedented post-World War II baby boom and women coming into the workplace by the tens of millions over that period of time. Well, we don't have a baby boom, and there, Democrats, there aren't another sex. that are going to be able to come into the workforce that would replace a number of women that came in that period of time. You needed tens upon, you needed what, probably 70, 80, 90 million jobs and people that were created in that time period. Mm-hmm. You know, with all the advancement of technology,
yeah,
it still created all of that.
Right.
You're going to have less probably labor-intensive jobs. I also see a lot of labor, highly technical jobs. Mike Rowe talks about that a mm-hmm. lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, you look in the the automotive or trucking industry, when it comes to repairing anything now, they have to go through constant training on the technical side because of the computer systems on board. And if you don't have that, if you don't know what you're looking at, you know, it's not just turning a wrench. There's a lot of technical learning that goes, and it's constant learning. And if you're not up to date with that, I know a lot of the OEMs, especially in the Class 8 division, they require their techs that are out in the field working in those bays to do that training on a regular basis, because it's not just DEI training at your company. It's imperative because you've got to be able to fix whatever your customer brings in. It's the entire point of your existence. And that's not going to change either. Because now, I mean, my gosh, every year it seems like more and more tech, you know, integrated into every vehicle on the road. So, yeah, it's going to require a lot more.
And finally, we talked about Gavin Newsom and the minimum wage at his restaurants.
Uh-huh.
Well, doggone it, he got that special exemption for his.
Yeah.
But this article in the Wall Street Journal, California businesses take on Gavin Newsom over tax hikes. Mm. A coalition of California companies is going to war with Newsom and his Democratic allies over taxes it says have grown out of control in the Golden State. The businesses have gathered enough signatures to put a measure on November's ballot that would require 2/3 of voters approve most local tax increases and roll back some recently enacted one. If passed, it would be one of the most significant changes to the way California funds its government since 1978's Proposition 13, a voter-approved law that severely limited property tax increases. Backers say it's necessary to stop the continued tax hikes that are making it too expensive to operate in California and pushing companies to leave the state. Real estate businesses in Southern California are among the biggest funders, according to the state campaign finance records, partly in response to a surcharge on luxury home sales that Los Angeles voters passed in 2022. Newsom, local officials, and labor unions say the proposal would decimate funding for basic services such as trash collection and firefighting and would make budgeting decisions near impossible. The company spent some $16 million to gather signatures to put their proposal before voters and are gearing up for a fight political analysts say could draw tens of millions of dollars in advertising by both sides. You know, let's say it doesn't pass. I have no idea.
Hmm.
You know, you and I noticed back in, was it 20? Yeah, it was 2020, the number of conservative propositions that passed.
Hmm. Right.
In California, we went, oh my gosh, look at that. It's like conservatives are voting.
Right.
But if this thing doesn't pass, I can see companies saying, okay, the public has said, you know, the politicians are one thing, but the politicians in a referendum have said, or the voters have said in a proposition, nope, we want the corporations to be taxed even more and more and more and more. And that may be it for those companies saying, okay, we've gone as far as we've gone through COVID. They still did the wrong thing. After they still keep raising taxes. Now the public has said, nope, we wish to be the highest tax state in the nation and we wish to tax our companies a lot greater than other states. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no, you have to be gone. And anyone on the brink of making a decision like that, or any companies looking at moving into California, you got to hit the brakes, because if the will of the people is to tax more, you can't stay. You can't go. You can't operate that way. Because it wouldn't be over. If it's the will of the people now, then it would be the will of the people then to keep moving more and more in the direction of higher regulation, higher taxation, and you're doomed. as a company, it would end you eventually. And you can't make your long-term plans in a state like that.
And there'd actually be clawback in this one that would go back to 2022 for any tax increases at that point.
Right.
And the state's like, well, we can't survive doing this.
Right.
And it's like, well, you put yourself into that situation, didn't you?
Right. And like we'll see what the people decide.
Like the story that came out a week ago where it's like, okay, all right, we finalize the reparations.
Yeah. No money.
And by the way, I'm thinking of Marcy on Married with Children, the way she used to talk to Steve.
Mm.
Okay, reparations, you get nothing.
Yeah. You got nothing. Sorry, I mean,
after
no money.
All this talk the last couple of years of, well, first it was, remember, it was first $240,000 per eligible recipient. Then it went up to $500,000, then $1 million, then $5 million. And then somebody was talking about that's not enough. It needs to be $200 million.
Right.
You get nothing.
Zero.
Liberal California has told you, after promising you the world, you get nada. Zero.
Yep.
That's all Democrats.
Right.
That's all Democrats. Promise you the world, deliver you
nothing.
Nothing.
In fact, they keep taking from you.
Yep.
Over and over.
And they keep going after the lower earners to subsidize college, subsidize electric vehicles.
On your electricity bill, even?
$25,000
a year starting at $25,000, a surcharge starting at $25,000 a year on your income. That's what they want to do.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Good luck, California.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Okay, next week, I think it is Wednesday, the Republicans in the House are supposed to walk over the impeachment papers for Mayorkas over to the Senate. And, you know, they've got to start the trial. Now, they could dismiss it, I believe, with a vote or send it to a subcommittee. But the Republicans are doing this not because they believe that Mayorkas will be removed from office. They're right. doing it because he is the one that over and over again said the border is secure.
Right.
And what they're saying is he lied to Congress. That's
right.
really the
right.
that is the charge. Number one, what he did at the border is not following the law and harming the United States. And number two, he lied to Congress about it. And it's so crystal clear. They've got it on video evidence. You know, over and over again how many times he said the border was secure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so Schumer doesn't want the Democrats to vote on it. So the thought is he's going to try to throw it. Okay, we need to do an investigation, throw it to a subcommittee to do that. I don't know how you do that, but I saw that was one of the possibilities of Schumer trying to do anything but to have this thing go through and have Democrats have to vote on it.
Oh.
Because if they have to vote on it, if it goes to trial and the evidence is so overwhelming of the lies and they vote against it, Republicans will use it against them. We said this to begin with, even the impeachment inquiry of Joe Biden, we said they're never going to bring this to a full vote.
Right.
Because, you know, they want it to hang. But in this one, the evidence is so crystal clear because it's Mayorkas' own words.
Right.
And it's obvious. Everybody knows it's a lie.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.